many Christians grow. The bottom line, God's work involves many different individuals with various gifts and abilities. And certainly, leaders and preachers should be respected, but they should never be placed on a pedestal and create barriers or set them up as a substitute for Christ, like it was in the church at Corinth, because there aren't any superstars in this task, only team members performing their own special roles. And so we can become useful members of God.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. That's what we celebrate. He rose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity you've given to us. Lord, we thank you now that you shall speak through your word. Give us understanding and enlightenment about your word. Reveal the principles and then give us power to practice them so that we might profit from them. And more especially, give you praise for them. It is in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray, and the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn your Bibles to Psalms number 51 and verse 9. Psalms number 51 and verse 9. And the psalmist says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. I just want to be right. Part two. I just want to be right. David, throughout this psalm, especially in the beginning, shares with you the various measures and means he employs God to help him straighten out his life. There are times, my brothers and sisters, when we can do so much dealing from day to day until our lives spiral out of control. And it isn't some time until we're rock bottom, face down, that we recognize how far we've fallen and how much we've messed up. But that's not the problem in and of itself. The problem in and of itself is that most of us remain there and wallow. It's one thing to slip and fall. It's a whole nother thing to stay and wallow. When we recognize our sin, our shortcomings, our mistake, the enemy has a cheering squad to help keep us in that place. And we've got to learn how to shake off the mishaps and the mess ups and the mistakes we've made and get up. But before we get up, while we're down, talk to the Lord about our situation. And here is one psalm where David talks to the Lord about his situation. He is a king. He's very successful. He has led a blessed life, a conqueror's life. But yet it is riddled with sin and devastation and depravity. And he's at a point and a place where he has matured and no longer wants to live a life that is not stable, stout, and strong before God. David is known as a man who's after God's heart. And what it literally means is his true heart's desire, his pursuit is to win God's heart. Now, one of the things that David has recognized is in order to win God's heart, his heart must be right. God looks upon the heart. God looks at what's real. God deals with the innermost parts of us. And so it is from this vantage point that David, again, tries all that he knows best to get his life in alignment with the word, with the will, and with the way of God. Look at this, because all throughout this psalm, he is shouting, I just want to be right. And listen, it's one thing for God to want me to be right. It's one thing for you to want me to be right. It's a whole nother thing when I just want to be right. And I hope and pray that that's the place that we have come or soon to arrive in our Christian walk with God, that we desire to want to be right so that our walk and our talk and our life pleases the Lord. Look at this word, because in this word we have concealment and cleanup. In this verse 9, because he says, hide thy face from my sins. One of the things I want to point out again is the fact that David takes personal responsibility for his sins, for his faults, for his mistakes, for his part in what's wrong. One of the things I love about David that should be helpful to all of us is that when we go to God who knows all the facts, be real. Don't try and act like you're holier than thou. Don't try and act like you're a victim when you were a willing participant and it just went wrong. And now all of a sudden you're a victim because your plan failed. Y'all can act like you're holier than thou today if you want to, but I'm going to preach anyhow. You can act like you never thought that thought, never desired that desire, act like you never wanted it to go there, but you had it all in your heart all the while. But when things went wrong, then you want to cry. Weren't crying when you were hurting God's heart, but when your heart hurts, then you want to point the finger at somebody else. How many times, my brothers and sisters, have we allowed the flesh, the lewd and lascivious thoughts of our hearts to run rampant and run free until it caught us in a fix? Until it brought us to a place that bowed us to our knees, and it wasn't in prayer. It humbled us, but it wasn't in humility, because it broke us. And then we realized the error of our ways. But my brothers and sisters, it is only when you reach the place where you want to be right that God's ear is ready to hear and answer your prayer. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so he says to the Lord God, hide. That word hide means to conceal. But it means to conceal carefully. It's interesting because he's telling God, who sees all things, not to see his sins. And so when he says, and this word means conceal carefully, it literally means I want you to see me, but don't see me. Now you know when you see and you don't see, you got to be careful how you see. And so for God to do that like that, God had to put a plan in motion where he was able to see, but yet act as if he did not see, with a redemptive plan that puts a wrong man in a right relationship with him. That's the only way a true God, a real God, a pure God can see and don't see. He's got to be able to have something in place that pays the penalty, that takes the place of what is wrong and make it right before a righteous God. And so he says, hide thy face from my sins. Hide thy face. Now, what's important about that, it literally means, God, I don't want you to look upon my sins, which is interpreted offenses. Offenses. Everything we do, we don't intentionally do to hurt God. But because he sees everything, because he knows everything, because he is everywhere, he can't help but see it. But what he also knows is these are offenses that were not intended to offend. But because we are flesh and blood, which is not spirit, then we cannot achieve that level without the help and the support of God to be on a spiritual level. And here is the thought, that while I'm in my flesh, in my sins, I know somehow, some way, I'm going to say something, I'm going to do something, and it's going to offend you. But what I want you to do is hide your face, carefully conceal yourself, that you don't see all of these little offenses. That's why every day, my brothers and sisters, we ought to pray. Because there are things that we know according to the word that we don't do, or that we do. And there are things, again, the opposite of that. But here is what's true. Every day, in many ways, we offend God, whether that's with clear conscious knowledge or unconscious realities. We offend God. That's why we've got to always pray and not faint. Jesus said that in the 18th chapter of Luke, men ought always pray and not faint. Why? Because there are things in the spirit realm that are going on that are not aware in the natural realm until the manifested form has come. Listen, do you realize before many things happen in the natural realm, we've already spoken them in the spirit realm? A lot of things that show up today have been coming for many days. It may appear as though it just happened today, but we released it, we spoke it, we called it into being time before. And so when we begin to realize this and open our minds and thoughts to the depth and profundity of this man's plea that God would hide his face, that part that is known to be the express image and fullness of God, his face. Before his face means the full consciousness of God. God, hide it from your face. I don't want your face to see my sins. My sins aren't worthy to be seen by you. But listen to what he's saying. He's acknowledging his unworthiness and he's acknowledging God's worthiness. He's honoring God in such a way that he says, hide your face, because if you don't hide your face, it's no way you won't see this mess. In other words, I don't want you to be conscious of all of this stuff. That's not like you. But he goes on and moves from concealment to cleanup. And that's what I love about that, because, you know, when you're immature, you just want to sweep stuff under the rug because you're trying to do a quick cleanup. And it ain't really a cleanup. It's a cover up. It's not a straighten up because you still got it all there. You just covered it up. But listen at this. You know what's under the covers. And folk can see your life and they say, oh, what a nice clean life. And you're looking at cover up. They obviously don't see what's underneath my skin. They obviously don't know what's in my thoughts. Cover up. But listen at this. When you grow and mature and want to turn away from your evil ways, you don't want to cover up. You want to clean up. I wish I had a helper in the house. And see, you got to get tired of the cover up to want to clean up. You got to get tired yourself of sweeping stuff under the rug. After a while, the rug is going to become a mountain. And listen, it might be a seemingly quick solve, but the truth of the matter is that it's only a problem waiting to be dealt with greater later. Later. It becomes a problem greater to deal with later. And so listen to what he goes on to say. And blot out all mine iniquities. Blot. It's an interesting word because it literally means to use a crimson, which is a deep ruby red color that literally takes away the readability of whatever would be seen in the unstained place. It literally means to blot it out so that all you see is the stain and not that the stain blotted out. It didn't cover it up, because with a cover up, you can uncover. But when it's blotted out, you can never take the blot away and see what was there before. If you could get the stain blot removed, you would not see the stain. You would not even know what was there before the blot, after the blot has blotted it out. And so what he's saying is, Lord, I need you to clean this mess up so well that if I've got any haters, any naysayers, any nosy folk, any peekaboo folk, any curtain watchers,
any midnight riders. If I've got folk that are walking and talking behind my back, trying to see my mistakes, when they move the blot away, let everything the blot blotted be blotted out. That it was a waste of their time trying to get the blot removed, because the blot removed what it was intended to remove. I wish I had a helper here. But listen at this. It means also for the guilt. Listen, of punishment. Or the guilt of sin. Blot out my guiltiness. Well, here's the thing. If you clean me up, then I don't have to feel dirty. And if I don't feel dirty, then I won't be guilty of being dirty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so when he talks about this, it's important to understand that it goes beyond just the sin, but how I feel about the sin. And then not only the guilt of my sin, but the punishment of my sin. Blot it out. I couldn't pay for it. But what an awesome price that was paid for it. And I'd yet be thinking about, how am I going to pay this off? Because I don't make enough in a lifetime to pay this. But help me to appreciate the fact that you've paid it. And I've got a receipt. And I don't have to be guilty about the fact that Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but oh, he washed it white as snow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But listen at this, because I want you to see something else, and I want you to see the progression of sin. He deals with sin in the eighth portion of this verse when he says, hide thy face from my sins. But then he says, and blot out all mine iniquities. Well, aren't sins and iniquities the same? Well, if they were the same, they'd be called the same. So it's clear that they're not the same. Sins, I told you, were offenses. But iniquity here in this text is perversities and depravities. Perversities and depravities. In other words, iniquity here means, I like to put it this way, it's easy to remember. Perversity is the university of depravity. Did you hear what I just said? Perversity is the university of depravity. Now, here is the point. These are graduated sins. Deep, dark, dirty sins. These are the abominable. These are graduate and postgraduate sins, iniquities. These are the things that surely count against morality and a moral and a good heart. These are the things that you just don't say I'm sorry for and just walk away. This has to be dealt with, cleansed and removed from the life, because its holding power is a strong hold. So much so that it becomes perverse, and it comes from a depraved place. And it means that this is not just a sin I just stumbled on. This is one I pondered on for a long. This is an old sin. This is used to being in my thoughts. This is used to being hid in my secret thoughts. This is a sin. I've just been waiting for the right opportunity. Y'all getting mighty quiet here. And these are the things, listen at him, that he says, I want to get rid of. I don't want to look like an angel on Sunday and act like a hellion through the rest of the week. I want to walk the walk and talk the talk. I want to be a living light. But you got to deal with some things underneath my skin, Lord. I want to be clear. I need you to blot out all my iniquities. And see, that's where you begin to realize you really want to change. Tell somebody that's when you want to change. Yeah, you don't need nobody to tell you you're a crackhead. You need to say, I'm a crackhead. I need some help for my crackedness. I don't want to be cracked up no more. I need to get rid of this mess. This stuff makes me do crazy things. And it's when you want to get rid of that, that you really want to be right with God. Perverseness. David, from a shepherd boy to a warrior to a king. And yet, having power, prestige, and prosperity allowed him to activate every thought of his heart. Who was going to tell the king? No. I'm the king. You do what I say. King one evening, strolling on his terrace, can't rest, goes out and looked down in his bathing pond. A beautiful, beautiful, voluptuous young woman there bathing in the wrong tub. You see, some people put themselves where they can be seen. Amen. Advertise. Now when she bathed in his pool, she was a married woman. Her husband wasn't bathing with her. She knew it was under the king's terrace. She knew it was a chance he might. Well, I'm just thinking my own thoughts. Let me get back to it. And he orders her to come up. Well, now, you just don't refuse the company of the king. Not only do you not refuse the company of the king, but you don't refuse the request of the king. And one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing led to another thing. And since you brought your children to church this morning with you, I'll leave those other things alone. But you're talking about a man after God's own heart who was still flesh and blood. Still flesh and blood. And he made the wrong decisions. And he made the wrong choices. And he had the wrong consequences. And it isn't until he came to that point where the Lord let him have his own way. And he discovered that his own way was not even best for him. See, that's what I love about the Lord. He will let you. He will let you try it your way just to see that the devil has tricked you and fooled you, that your way is not the best way, that he has the best way, and it is only his way that will win in the end. And so David is at this point.